Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
6:15, it is the final day of April, in case you've lost track. Thursday, April 30th. And we're here at the broadcast Belchase broadcast bunker again after yesterday having to go to the studio because of no power. But we're back. And we begin this morning in these, let me talk about the weather. Highs of 79, beautiful. It's nice outside right now, 65 degrees, lovely spring morning. Highs today only of 79, but then by next Tuesday, and keep in mind, we'll be into the early part of May by then, the highs are going to be near 90 degrees. So we begin this morning with this COVID-19 containment, talking about the election that is coming up, elections, because it's not just for the president. About mail-in voting. Who knows what it's going to be like then? Hopefully, it'll all be behind us, but you don't know. If you fail a plan, you plan to fail, right? Sarah Niebler joins us, assistant professor of political science at Dickinson College. Talk about expanding voting by mail in their state. Good morning, ma'am. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me this morning.
Thanks for taking the time with us. So, is there any obvious favorite when it comes to mail-in voting? Does it favor the Democrats? Does it favor the Republicans?
There's not political science scholarship to evidence to suggest that that's the case. It certainly seems like, based on the rhetoric coming from a lot of our political elites, that people think it benefits Democrats categorically. But again, the scholarship that we have shows that there's no long-term partisan advantage for either political party.
So the president said, and I'm not taking a shot at the president, I'm just telling you, he said that there would be a widespread fraud. He's not for it, but then he requested a mail-in ballot from Florida to cast his vote, I guess, in the Florida primary. First of all, I don't know how you would document this, and I'm not justifying it at all, Professor, but has there ever been or will there ever be a completely and totally honest and fair election?
So the amount of voter fraud in the United States in general is very, very, very low. Mm-hmm. And the amount of voter fraud that has occurred with mail-in ballots, because, I mean, think about it, right? Most states have some form of mail-in ballot already. Folks who are living overseas can vote by mail. Folks who are in the military can already vote by mail. Folks who are unable to make it to the polls on election day can already vote by mail. So all states have some version of vote by mail already. The conversation we're having now is more about how to expand and whether we should expand that vote by mail to apply to everyone living in the state, because of the situation we're in right now with COVID-19. So, you know, every state has some version of vote by mail, and the amount of fraud that has been documented in those elections is minuscule. I mean, we're talking about a couple of cases every year when we have millions and millions of ballots cast every year. So there's no evidence of widespread fraud in any election, and even in mail-in elections or, you know, ballots that are cast by mail. In the states that have uniform vote by mail, that's also the case, right? So it's not just that there hasn't been fraud in absentee ballots in the few states that are in the states that allow it, but there, in the states that allow vote by mail widespread, there still hasn't been fraud documented.
And the reason I asked it that way, the way my mind works is, okay, we're going to have mail-in balloting. Either it's not a mail-in voting, rather. Either it's okay, at which point that block ends, right? Or it's not okay, and if it's not okay, or it's subject to fraud, then why would you allow it at all? And then if you're going to allow it in certain cases and it's subject to fraud, well, then you're saying you'll tolerate a little bit of fraud. And the logic there just drives me crazy. Do you understand the way I'm trying to put it?
I do. And I mean, our minds often go to worst case scenarios, right? And I think we certainly want to ensure the integrity of elections. I think that's a fundamental aspect of democracy. And so if we don't believe in the results of our elections, we've got some pretty significant problems for voting overall in the country. But I agree with you in the sense that I think I'm reluctant to support proposals that are put forward where we allow, even in an expansion of vote by mail, where we allow only certain people to vote by mail. And that's one of the proposals that's been put forward is, well, maybe, senior citizens could vote by mail, but no one else. Well, there are folks who aren't senior citizens, but who also have, work obligations or physical limitations that prohibit them from being able to make it to the polling place between, 7 in the morning and 8 at night or whatever the polls are open. And so I think here's a place where I think for political scientists, we often talk about separating the process from the outcome. And so if we value turnout overall, in value participation, we should value it for everyone. So proposals that allow vote by mail for seniors, but not for people who might have job or childcare responsibilities, I don't think that's a good idea. I think we ought to, if we think that vote by mail, like you said, works for some people, we ought to allow everyone to request a vote by mail.
And then I think everybody has to have a conversation with themselves in front of the mirror. Well, do you want it to be fair? Do you want it to be fair to the point that it allows your side to win? So we're going to take a break. When we come back, Professor, I want to ask you about each party in terms of what kind of voters would mail-in voting tend to attract or enfranchise, maybe be a better way to put it, so that which group would benefit the Democrats, which group would benefit the Republicans, and would it be a wash? We're talking about mail-in voting. Our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll, should mail-in voting be an option for every voter? Two-thirds are saying no. One-third is saying yes. We'll be back in a moment. Right now, it's time for traffic, 621 WWL. 624 Tommy Tucker, WWL, working from home. And along those lines, Professor Sarah Niebler, I hope I'm pronouncing your name right, am I?
That is correct. Yep, that's
okay,
correct.
Okay, good. Because the communication's not what it could be. We're talking about mail-in balloting or voting by mail, especially in this time of coronavirus. 56% of Americans favor their states allowing people to vote by mail without needing to provide a reason. 26% oppose. During the coronavirus outbreak, that number has risen to 60%, and that's across both party lines. I like to work the listeners' questions in, and we have a text line here, Professor, that they can text their questions in. For those listening, you can text it to 87870, and I'll pass it along to the professor. Somebody expressed concerns about timeliness of results. Would that be an issue or not?
It certainly is the case that it will take longer to count ballots that come in by mail. That's true. A lot of states, some of this has to do with when states require mail-in ballots to be returned. So some states, you have to have the ballot in the hands of the county election office by the kind of traditional election day. But in other states, the ballot just has to be postmarked by the election day, which means that ballots might be trickling in for upwards of another 3 or 4 days or even up to a week potentially. So, yes, I think that if we move to more widespread mail-in balloting across the country, we will need to realize that the speed with which we're accustomed to seeing results, right, especially when we all think about watching the news come in on election night and knowing who the president's going to be before we go to sleep, that may change. And I think that's something we would have to get used to. That's one of those trade-offs you were talking about. Do we want votes counted accurately or do we want them counted quickly? And those two things are not always compatible with one another. So, yes, I do think that it would slow down or have the potential to slow down the speed with which we would know results of elections. But I don't necessarily think that's a terrible thing.
So one issue I have, and it's a little bit off the subject of, or I worry about, not an issue, concern I have is if you go back to 2000 and you talked about knowing who the president was before we go to bed, right? We didn't know who the president was until what, early December?
I think it took about 6 weeks. Yep, I think that's right.
But everybody played nice for the most part. Mm-hmm. Al Gore conceded after the Supreme Court ruled, not that he really had a choice. A lot of people to this day that are Democrats think that, and I'm just going to give you the way they say it, that Bush's daddy, the Supreme Court gave him the election. Believe what you want. The point I'm making, I'm asking you about, Professor, is this. Given today's divide in this country, would anybody be willing to play that nice this time in this day and age?
I do worry about some of the rhetoric that comes from political elites, for sure, right? I think there's a lot of evidence to suggest that the public follows the way that the elites behave and act, right? And so thinking about rhetoric at the top, I think it is important. Here's a place where, again, I come back to this issue of process. I think we need to all be talking about valuing participation. I think we all need to be talking about valuing the integrity of the process. And then we need to rely on evidence, and we have evidence to show what the fact that there is not widespread fraud, that all of those things are okay, and that we can value participation. And so I think, I do worry about some of the rhetoric coming from the top. I don't know if people would play nice. I think a lot of that tone would be set by political elites, by elected officials of both parties, and how they're talking about the results and whether they trust the integrity of the results. And I worry when people at the top say that they don't trust results, because, again, there's no evidence to suggest that they shouldn't trust results that have been coming in.
Regardless of whom you favor, I think we should all hope for a landslide. Would you agree or not?
I don't know. I mean, contested elections in American politics are always a good thing. But certainly I think it will help everyone feel like the results are valid more, if it's not decided by one state with 500 votes like it was in 2000. I do think that caused a lot of turmoil for folks, and people, like you said, are still questioning the results of that election.
I would feel a lot better with a landslide. Professor, I appreciate your time. I hope us again.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You have a great day. Stay safe and sane in these COVID-19 times. Sarah Niebler, Assistant Professor of Political Science at Dickinson College. You heard about, are we going to run out of meat? Are we going to run out of this? We're going to talk supply chain with Glenn Ritchie when we come back. He's an eminent scholar in all of this. He wrote the book, in essence, when it comes to supply chain. I know my own supply chain because of the power outage yesterday. I'll be over at the store today loading up. We'll be back right now. Time for WWL First News with Dave Cohen.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly!